Hello, welcome to another episode of Sermon Review. I'm Pastor Witt here with the Pastor Victor. Say hello, Pastor.
Hola.
¿Cómo está?
Muy bien.
Bien, bien. You preached this Sunday?
I did.
Like most Sundays?
Yes.
But it was our bilingual service, so a little different?
A little different, yeah.
How different is it preaching in translation?
Different language.
It is a different language.
Like I preach in English.
It's a huge change.
Just a little extra effort on just, I did the sermon as usual in Spanish, and then I work on translation.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah. And then delivering it's a little bit different, having someone beside you translating.
Yes, and it actually helped me, to be honest, because I'm used to preaching Spanish. The fact that I was doing it in English,
right,
and I had to wait for Michael for the translation, it really helped me to get more connected to the
That's good. So we're in Romans 8.
It's
a pretty good chapter.
It is, yes. It's interesting and intimidating. In a way. When theologians throughout history describes this chapter as the most important chapter or the most deep most important chapter in the entire Bible.
Yeah.
And of course, that is just the opinion of theologians.
Right.
But yes, we can see clearly the richness, the how profound this chapter is. And yes, it's intimidating, but it's a great blessing that we get to go deeper into this chapter.
The Great Eight is what many call it. Did you feel that this week preparing for it? Did you feel intimidated?
I've been intimidated since we started Romans.
Romans.
Just getting to the thought of starting Romans, it was a challenge.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's been a great blessing going deep in studying this book.
That's good. So you found a main point in this passage, Romans chapter 8, 1 through 11. You said, in Christ, there is no condemnation. And then your three points from that were how in the flesh there is, and if the Spirit dwells in you. So first point, how. That's verses, was it 1 through 4?
1 through 4.
1 through 4. Mm-hmm. Okay, how did you get the point there? You know, what were you trying to drive home in these verses?
Well, the main topic that we see here, we can say that is verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
There is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. But then what is interesting is that verse 2, 3, and 4 is an explanation of that. There is no condemnation, but how is it that we have no condemnation?
Right.
And there is the explanation of the law, the explanation of the gospel. That verse 3 is like the gospel in a nutshell. It's such a rich passage. So, what Paul is trying to drive here, I think, is more, yes, there's no condemnation, but I want to make sure that you know how is it that believers have no condemnation.
Right.
And it's starting with the law, what it says in verse 2.
Yeah.
For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death.
Hmm.
But then
one law set you free from another law.
Yeah, exactly. It's super interesting after he spoke and dedicated an entire chapter, chapter 7, talking about law. Us being transferred basically from one law. We were married to the law. Now we're united in Christ. And identifying another law, the law of sin. There is another law in my body.
Right.
That's what he said in chapter 7. So now he's presenting a new law for the law of the Spirit of life, which is really, really interesting because, I mean, some people describe this law, the law of sin and the law of the Spirit as a force, as a dominating power that is going to be leading in your life.
Yeah.
But I think I think at the end of the day is describing the gospel.
Yeah. It's interesting how Romans uses the word law different ways. I feel like that's one of the common questions we get for this mm-hmm. podcast is when Paul says law, what does he mean?
Yeah. Is the law of God, the law of Moses, the law of sin, the law of the spirit of life?
I find it to be law.
Yeah. So, yes, we have to keep connected what is the law of God and the law of Moses.
Right.
The Mosaic law that was given specifically in Mount Sinai to Moses and to the people. Like, of course, that is connected to the law of God. Basically what God demands and his perfection. So we can, in a way, unite what the law of God is and the law of Moses. And, of course, he's speaking here to a Jewish population that is in Rome. Of course, there's also Gentiles in that church. But I think it's important that we don't get confused with the different type of law that he's describing here.
Right.
I think he's has a main purpose on identifying the different laws, just to point out to the gospel, pointing out that the law of God, the law of Moses, cannot save us, cannot justify us, and cannot sanctify us.
Right.
And he's pointing, using everything that he can here to point, Jesus is the one that can save us because he was sent by God to accomplish that.
That's good. So you may mention this is another question we had. It was the law exposes sin in our hearts. Do you feel like that was the only point of the law?
No, I mean, it's also to help us understand that we need a savior.
Right.
It's showing you the sin, but it's not showing you the sin to leave you right there.
Right.
Like, the law of God will be connected to the entire plan of redemption of God.
Right.
And when we connect all the dots, yes, it is the mirror that it will show us who we really are.
Right.
But it's also reflecting to the solution, which is Christ.
That's good. I really enjoyed your point there, right, in verse 3, right, in the somewhat the NASB translation and the Spanish translation that you have. What was it? The law couldn't do it. God. that was very good. God did it.
Yes, I mean, we were talking last week. We were in Nashville, and you, Daniel, and myself were talking about this.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit confused because, of course, I'm reading from my Spanish translation Bible, and I see that the order is different. So I pointed out that to Daniel, and it was Daniel that said, "Wait a second, let me look at the other translation." And he found the New American Standard Version.
Yeah.
And then he said, "Look, the order here is the same that you have."
Yeah.
But wait a second. The word did is basically added.
Yeah.
So it's basically saying God. Like,
yeah.
God did it. Like, it was just a good moment that we had over there talking about the text. And I think it's just powerful.
Yeah.
Sometimes we try to make a lot of descriptions of God,
right?
But God is saying it's just me. I am.
So it seems to be very much of this is what God has done. It's very much, I feel like Paul is putting the reader to the side and saying, like, let's just take a second and just look. All right, don't do anything. Don't move. Just look. You know. So it's kind of hard for this podcast. You want to look for applications. Is there an application for verses 1 through 4?
I mean, definitely. I think the application is first of all, just thinking on there's no condemnation.
Yeah.
Of course, we need to go there on how the guilt of past sins and some situation that happened in our lives are sometimes pursuing us and sometimes distract us from the thing that God accomplished.
Yeah.
So I think the very first thing is to really believing and realizing there's no condemnation.
Right.
But we have to connect it to how.
Yeah.
We have to connect it to how we can say there's no condemnation. What happened?
Yeah.
And this is what happened. There is a new law and that law is powerful than the law of sin. And but how? Oh, because right. God did it. And yeah. and how did he did it? By sending his son.
Right.
And he became flesh.
Yeah.
To in the flesh conquer the flesh, conquer yeah. sin
yeah.
And the punishment of that. So just realizing when we think about our past sins and our guilt and everything in the past, we need to immediately put our eyes on this is what Jesus accomplished for us. Right. This is how God did it. And that is the reflection on the gospel, the reflection on us going back to the cross. Mm. Is a daily reflection of doing that is what's going to help us
yeah.
to overcome guilt, to overcome, yeah. I mean, to do the Christian life.
Yeah.
We need to do the Christian life with our eyes set on the cross and set on what Jesus accomplished.
Yeah, I think that's good. I mean, many times you think of applications as like, all right, do this, don't do this. But, I mean, one of the main applications we should be pulling from each week is stop, behold God, mm-hmm. look at him, yeah. rest in what he has mm-hmm. done, and then we can maybe try to work on some mm-hmm. applications. But I think we were talking about this versus this section in general. There's a legalist in all of us who want to take these yeah. verses and be like, all right, what do I got to do?
Yeah.
But that's not really Paul's main objective here. It's more like, behold God. Like, there's no condemnation to him. And it's like, no, what do I need to do? It's like, all right, just pause.
Yeah, and if you think about it, think about the last 10 times mm-hmm. that you've been struggling with some kind of sin or some kind of guilt or yeah. some kind of anything contrary to God. And try to identify the pattern.
Right.
Is the pattern telling you that you are, at that moment that you're struggling with that, focusing on Christ?
Yeah.
You have your eyes set on the cross and what Jesus accomplished? No. Right. Like, when I look at my struggles every single time,
yeah.
I have my eyes on myself.
Hmm.
And this is like, no, let's put the eyes on Jesus. Let's get on a daily habit. On an hourly habit, on a minute to minute, like every second habit of let's try to live our lives with our eyes set on Jesus.
That's good. There's no condemnation, but verses 5-7, is that right? If in the flesh there is condemnation.
Yes.
So here you seem to, you know, Paul's switching kind of, yes, in Christ, you're right, but if you're living in the flesh, there's condemnation waiting for you.
Yes, it very similar to verses 1-4.
Okay.
In verses 1-4, we see like a very deep statement in verse 1 and then an explanation in verse 2-4.
Right.
And here we have something similar. We have verses 5 and 6 that is making a comparison between those who set their minds on the things of the flesh and those who live according to the Spirit, setting their mind on the things of the Spirit.
Gotcha.
So verses 5 and 6 are making that comparison to later in verses 7 and 8 make the explanation on why he's pointing out to those two.
Right.
So I think the main theme in this next section, he's presenting the comparison in order to let us know that, yes, there's no condemnation for those who are in the Spirit, but there is condemnation yeah. for those who are in the flesh.
So as a believer, what should we take from these passages?
As a believer, I mean, first of all, I think we need to evaluate the way that we're living.
Okay.
Evaluate is a connection here. For those who are living according to the flesh, have their mind set on the things of the flesh.
Right.
There, I mean, we've been bombarded by so many things that try to get into our minds.
Right.
And is a daily, I mean, battle, struggle, and war that we have going on in our minds.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. We need to protect our mind. We need to protect our hearts, and not just to avoid the things of the flesh,
right,
but consume the things of the Spirit.
Right.
So I think it's a double thing, like protect, like playing defense and playing offense.
Do you have any like maybe practical ways you find your life playing defense and playing offense?
I mean, I cannot go with a novelty here or a new strategy.
Yeah.
I mean, ordinary means of grace.
Yeah.
We need to set the habits of, I mean, prayer, reading scriptures, and, yeah. and finding specific times. I mean, everybody has a different way of doing things. Some people like to wake up early in the morning. Some people operate better in at night.
Yeah.
So just finding those times that you are more aware, that you are more willing to receive the Word of God, to spend time in the Word of God. So, I mean, everybody will have a different formula for this, but it's not going to be apart from the ordinary means of grace.
Yeah, that's good. And so we close, right? If you're in the Spirit, verses 8 through 11, you closed there. The Spirit seems to be, he seems to be an important part of these verses and this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Yes.
He's mentioned quite a bit. It seems to be, he seems to be a vital role in our sanctification, following Christ.
Yeah.
What's Paul trying to illustrate here for us with the Holy Spirit?
I think what's interesting here, and in the entire chapter, we don't find an imperative.
Hmm.
We don't find God telling us in this chapter, this is what you need to do specifically.
That's interesting.
Paul is saying this is what God did.
Yeah.
And this is a statement.
Yeah.
Like, if Christ is in you,
right,
the Spirit dwells in you.
Yeah.
So I think, and I didn't explain it well on Sunday, but my point is there's no condemnation. In Christ, there's no condemnation if His Spirit dwells in you. But right beside the "if," I put in parentheses, "because."
Right.
So it would read like, in Christ there's no condemnation because the Spirit dwells in you.
Right.
So this is not trying to create some doubts in the believer of Christ is in you, there's no condemnation. Oh, only if the Spirit dwells in you. So let's see if the, like, I don't think that's the point that Paul is making here. He's making the point, because the Spirit dwells in you, Christ is in you. Like, having the Spirit is having Christ in you. He's making a statement that you're either in the flesh or in the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, this is what's going on. Right. So the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ is in you. So I think what he's trying to make here, the point is to, for us to reflect on the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you.
Yeah.
I mean, just realize that. Just think about 2,000 years ago, Jesus was raised from the dead.
Right.
And it was the Spirit who raised Him from the dead.
Right.
And that same Spirit, 2,000 years later, is in me, dwells in me. So, I mean, there is no way for us to understand that, and but we can rejoice in that.
So do we dwell in the Spirit, or does the Spirit dwell in us?
It's interesting. It says His Spirit dwells in you.
But it says here, but in the Spirit. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So it's like this mutual abiding. You know? It's very interesting how that's worded. And so, I mean, it was very encouraging, right? You went to different people in the congregation and applying, right, this truth.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God dwells in you.
Yeah.
Right. It's manifested in how you live your life, right? It's very clear.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between someone who has the Spirit of God dwelling in them and the person who does not. And it was very encouraging for me to hear you pinpoint, right, to the youth, senior saints, right, parents. It's evident.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an encouraging chapter. And I think you did a very good job of letting that encouragement overflow of, we should be walking away from this passage with the Spirit of God dwells in it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's very encouraging. Do you have any last closing thoughts? Or?
I mean, we're just starting Romans 8.
Yeah.
So I think it only gets better. Yes, we're going to go to chapter 9 very soon. We're going to have some struggles.
Some fireworks.
Yeah, but this is just amazing how the following verse, if you go to verse 12, which I think is also part of this section, we just had to divide it. But the whole thing is saying there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And then verse 12, it says, so we are debtors.
Debtors, yeah.
So not to the flesh.
Right.
So you can live to the flesh.
Yeah.
But to the spirit, like, no, it's not us. It's he did it.
Right.
He accomplished that. And the same way that he justified us,
yeah,
he's going to continue to sanctify us in the spirit.
Mm.
And now he's going to bring that operation of the spirit,
right,
in the constant war that we have with sin.
Right.
The way that the spirit is going to be guiding us, the way that the spirit is going to be giving us that assurance that we are, in fact, children of God,
yeah,
that he intercede for us, that, I mean, it's through the spirit that we were saved, it's through the spirit that we're going to live this life as
right.
Christians.
Mm. Amen. Would you mind praying us out on that?
Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can say that in you there's no condemnation. Help us to understand this truth and help us to live every single day according to your spirit, not according to the flesh. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.